Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is a numbers game here on a Thursday. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin. I'm in for Gil Alexander for the week. And let me tell you, Kelly Bidlin, it was looking like we were heading towards the first game six ever in World Series history in which a team had started 3-0. And I'm sure a lot of Yankees fans out there also thought that that's where we were going. We, of course, will break that down over the course of today. Great guests on the show. Zach Cohen going to join us, talk all things sports. And Mike Somich, as requested by you, the listener and viewer.
That's right.
Is coming on to talk the ponies and which one is going to run the fastest.
That is correct. Hopefully.
Hopefully run the fastest.
Hopefully. And not just top three or anything like that. Which one will run the fastest?
And multiple races I have heard that he is handicapping here. So it's not just like, you know, like only, people only care about the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, we always make that mistake.
Just the one. But there's like a lot of races in which he's got opinions on.
Yeah, Somich and the Felicas of the world, they're betting every single race of race day. All we care about is the last one or race, you know, 14.
I want the biggest one and the one that I can like brag about to people if I finally ever hit anything and win anything. Because what you don't want to do is be like, yeah, man, on race 8, I won the winner. Like, oh, was that the Kentucky Derby? No. No, it's just race 8. I don't even know what they call it. Like, I don't have any.
Race 8,
yeah,
bro.
It's just race 8. I don't have any idea what they call that race, but I won. They're like, yeah, I don't care. I don't care at all. They care more about the money they lost in the Kentucky Derby than the money I would win in race 8.
Right,
or 7,
yeah, exactly.
Whatever. Yeah, they don't care at all about any of that stuff. Okay, so what did we see last night? Did we see the worst inning in the history, not of even the World Series, but maybe in baseball in general? I think it is something a lot of people are going to talk about because you have a Yankees team in control, everything going their way, they're at home, the crowd is into it, everybody thinks this is a win. We are heading into game number six. They are up 5-0 in the fifth inning. And Kelly, the wheels absolutely fall off. We get an error by Aaron Judge. We get a non. So this is, people are going to say like, hey man, you know, how come Anthony Rizzo didn't get over there? No, this is PFP, pitcher fielding practice. You do this whenever you are a baseball player, every single time. If you're a pitcher, you practice, they do this over and over and over. And you hate it because you're like, dude, I get it. I know. I cover first base every time the ball goes. I understand.
It's also the very first thing that's practiced of any spring training. It's pitchers and catchers report.
They don't
and
want
that's
you throwing.
They, do. They don't want you throwing.
You're not even throwing. You're just doing PFPs. Like, that's all you're doing. It's just pitcher fielding practice. That's all there is to it. And for whatever reason, it just escaped Gerrit Cole for that second. Goes on and on. Next thing you know, we look up, Kelly. It is tied 5-5. In the fifth inning. At that point, I knew, even after the Yankees scored in the sixth inning, which they did to go up one run, at the 5-5 mark, I was like, this game is over. The Dodgers are winning the World Series tonight. You just knew, right? Did you not have, you knew in your heart of hearts that
it
was over.
It's really tough. I don't care. It almost doesn't matter what sport it is. It doesn't matter if it's a couple drives, like back-to-back in football, a quarter in basketball, right? You have an inning like that. It just feels like there's no chance that you're going to recover from something like that. And that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah, and they bounce back. They do get a run there in the sixth inning, but then the Dodgers two in the eighth, and then Blake Treinen, and then Walker Buehler comes in to close it out. I thought it could have been the greatest thing in the history of sports had Shohei just walked out there with one shoulder.
Like, didn't I would not have liked that.
Didn't throw a single warm-up pitch and then just closes the game. They're like, hey.
Pitched,
yeah, they're just like, hey, Shohei, you think you can maybe close this thing out? And he's like, yeah, sure. Whatever, that's fine.
No
whatever.
Problem.
Yeah, he just goes out there and hadn't thrown a pitch in a game in a year. It's like just gets it done. But Walker Buehler shuts things down. Two strikeouts there in the ninth inning, and the Dodgers are in fact your World Series champions. We coasted to our bets last night here because
I mean, mine's never a coast when I'm fading Shohei Ohtani just to get a hit. So yeah, that was start to finish. Yours on the other hand, was, yes,
a coast
rocking
job.
Chair
yes,
winner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Flaherty only made it 1 1/3. So you can't go 15 outs if you only go 1 1/3.
Nope, you can't.
And it's really, really hard to get 5 strikeouts if you only go 1 1/3 as well. So cash that ticket on Flaherty very, very early and very easily. And like you said, you got home on your Shohei Ohtani ticket as well.
Finally worked, Matt. Finally worked. About 1 for 3 in fading Dodgers who have dislocated shoulders in major World Series games.
I'm telling you, this is going to be one of those deals too. We're going to find out, like they're going to come out and say like, oh no, his injury is way worse than he was letting on. It's like, yeah, it's going to take all, you know, it's going to take all winter for him to get healthy.
Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked by that. The way we saw him playing and acting the last couple games, but we'll see.
Didn't look the same for
did
sure.
Not at all.
Like did not look not the same close. For sure. But again, Freddie Freeman just continues to do what he was doing. If you'd listened to this very program, Adam Burke came in and said, hey, even at even money, Freddie Freeman, in what world does he not win the MVP? And of course, a runaway for Freddie Freeman. So hopefully out there, you got in on even money on that.
You know what was weird? We didn't get a chance to talk about it yesterday, I don't think. But there was, after the Yankees won that one game, you had a drop in his price for at least at DraftKings. It was minus 1,800 for him to win World Series MVP after game 3. Dropped down to minus 900, cut in half. I mean, not a ton of us running out there to lay $9, but still, like, it was pretty shocking to see it get cut in half, especially since he hit a home run in that game.
Yeah, the only world that existed that he didn't win it was if the Yankees came all the way back. So like you're saying, like, I understand not a lot of people have the bankroll to go out and lay, you know, 900. But at the end of the day, if you did not believe the Yankees were going to pull, we never even got to a game 6. We had never even gotten to a game 6.
They'd have to win 3 games in a row. So like, I think it's still a good bet. But it would have been,
So it's like one of those deals where, if you had the money, it probably would have been good to get in on that. Well, you know, here we are. What do you think's going to change? Nothing's going to change. The Dodgers are, in fact, your World Series favorite as we head into the offseason. 4-1.
Yeah, Kelly. 4-1. 4-1. Can you do your Moneyball recap, too? We were just discussing with Dave Ross.
Real quick, I threw out a tweet yesterday. Actually, people loved it and actually loved it for the wrong reasons. They're kind of like, this is ruining baseball, you know, and all the things like that. But I mean, look, it is what it is until he changed and this is the way it's going to go. But all 6 of the teams with the highest payrolls in Major League Baseball made the playoffs. 2 of those teams played in the World Series and 1 of those teams won the World Series. And then 6 of the 7 with the lowest payrolls, not only, as you would imagine, not only didn't make the playoffs, they were under 500 on the course of the season. By the way, hat tip to the Tigers, who not only were over 500, but also did make the playoffs. They were the outlier there in that bottom 7 teams. But the other 6, all of which were the lowest payrolls in baseball, all finished under 500.
Yeah, A's, Pirates, Marlins, Reds, Nationals. Tigers keeping Moneyball alive, though. Clearly,
yes.
Obviously.
Yes, obviously. But it's just, you know, and people are going to lose their minds because Juan Soto is going to hit free agency and someone is going to pay Juan Soto an absurd amount of money. And they're going to go, you can't pay this one guy. You paid Shohei Ohtani $700 million and they go and they win the World Series. He has one of the greatest seasons, if not the greatest season we've ever seen by a human. And it's worth it. Like in baseball, if you can buy your way to the top, then buy your way to the top.
Mm-hmm.
You should, you know, if you're one of these big market teams. And he is certainly going to make things explode when it comes to the
I loved his comments post-game, too. Like, it was just, it was nothing crazy. I don't even know if you're going to see it, how many shows you're going to see him on this morning, but it was just him being real with reporters about talking about free agency when you almost never get that from pro athletes, right? It's like, oh, we're going to take some time, think about this. I got to get with my people. Whatever line you want to come up with, right? And he was basically like, well, we're going to talk to everybody. Yeah. Everybody's open for business.
We're going to talk to everyone. And if you have a whole lot of money and you want to write a whole bunch of
That's
zeros,
right.
We'll talk to you
we'll
too.
Talk to
yeah,
you.
Let's go on. That includes you, teams over in Japan or whatever. Like, we'll talk to everybody. Doesn't matter. I'm here for the money, and as he should be.
Yeah, as he should be. That's what I'm saying. Like, just everybody, we know those are the types of conversations that go on behind closed doors. Don't give us the forced lines after these big games. Like, no, he's been thinking about it. He's been talking about it. Like, there's no problem with that, and go take care of business this summer.
If you are, if you're wondering about the rest of those teams, Yankees 7-1, Braves 7.5-1, Phillies 10-1. Orioles are 11-1, and then the Astros 13-1, Mets 14-1. Padres, who everyone was high and all hot on in the postseason this season, 15-1, Rangers 28, and then the Mariners sitting at 28 as well. Did we leave the Guardians? Guardians are at 28 in there as well. So these are kind of how this is how it's going to look. And Kelly, it's been chalk. If you look, there was a tweet that went out last night talking about the four major sports, and there hasn't been a team outside of the Rangers in the last several years that was longer than 20-1 to win, yeah. You know, preseason. 11 of the 18 or something like that were 10-1 or shorter. It's a lot of chalk. There's a reason there's a lot of chalk, because we evaluate these teams. Oh, this team is better than all the rest of these teams, and that's why we price these teams. And so, and I know it's fun to have. I think there's a lesson maybe even to be learned in all of this, which, yeah, it's certainly fun to have. And if you cashed the Rangers ticket for 50-1, good on you. But, I mean, that just doesn't happen. And so it's maybe we have to start looking at these, like, longer-term futures a little bit differently.
So Drew Dinzik's done a great job on this show of coming on. I feel so bad. He's done a great job. There's a reason he's done a great job. Because he's gotten beaten a lot because of this stuff. And he's brought it up multiple times when he's done his guest spots here about it's just been favorites like crazy in some of these top teams the past couple of years. So, you know, I think when we look at odds like this, usually what we say after every one of these championships, right, it's, hey, you're always going to look to bet on a team whose odds are only going to get shorter through the offseason, right? So you're usually looking at longer odds teams, but I don't know if, you know, over the past 6 months to a year, Matt, I don't know if I can sit here and say the same thing anymore. I would just not bet this until we get close to the season.
Yeah, I mean, it would be one of those things where unless you got some sort of super inside info, or what, you know, sometimes we read the tea leaves. If you you knew where Soto was going to go, or if you knew whatever, and you wanted to kind of get out ahead of that move, because we've seen such reactionary stuff to news that the team will plummet in the futures market as soon as whoever signs Soto.
Yeah, Red Sox are 35-1. You know, let's just say that's going down to what? Exactly. 9-1, 10-1?
So it's just those type of deals. So if you want to try to get out ahead of that, that'd be the only thing. But like I said, man, it's just been a lot of chalk, and there's a reason for it being a lot of chalk. We have Thursday Night Football to discuss and a lot of news in the NFL as well when we come back here on A Numbers Game.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game here on a Thursday. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly here on the desk with me. And Kelly, we got another week of Bryce Young at quarterback. Andy Dalton apparently is not going to be ready, although he was practicing. He was whatever. I honestly think they should just go ahead and say, we're going to go with Bryce Young the rest of the season. Yeah. We're going to see just how bad he is and or maybe some signs of life, so that we can figure out what we need to do as a franchise and an organization. This season is done. So trotting Andy Dalton, who obviously is not the future of this organization out there at this point, what are you doing?
Yeah, I didn't really get, I didn't hear Canales talking yesterday, but seeing the quotes, I didn't really understand the Bryce Young's our starter this week. We'll reevaluate after this week.
It made no sense to me whatsoever. And again, a lot of things that these guys do don't make any sense to me. So it's, I will just give you my opinion is it is in your best interest at this point, now that the season is completely gone, to just continue to lose. If you were so convinced that Bryce Young was terrible that you wanted to bench him for Andy Dalton, then now at this point, making this natural transition back, it wasn't like a, oh, we're benching Andy Dalton again. He got injured. And so it was just a natural thing. Okay, boom, here comes Bryce Young.
Right.
You just keep rolling with him. You figure out, okay, is he absolutely god-awful and we have no future with this kid? And then that's good to know as well. Or does he show signs of life, which is also good for you to know as an organization. So at this point, it doesn't make any, this is not a Colts situation. The Colts are trying to make the playoffs.
It's not the Colts.
The Colts are trying to make the playoffs. Like the Colts actually, and they can, I mean, they're 4-4. Like they can make the playoffs. This is not happening for the Panthers. And so
this is also where it wouldn't be a conversation either for the Colts. If they had the record that the Panthers do, you play Anthony Richardson, no matter what he does on the field, no matter how many times he wants to take himself out.
So what this has done is, and again, this is coming on the news as well, that Derek Carr is going to go ahead and play for the Saints. The Saints are now on the other side of 7.5-point favorites over the Panthers. They're on the road here. 43.5 is the total in this one, Kelly. I mean, listen, I just giggle. And the reason I giggle is I'm like, the Saints as 7.5-point favorites over anyone does make me giggle. But at the same time, it's about as healthy as we've seen the Saints all season long. Olave's back off concussion. The couple of guys that were gone on the offensive line have come back as well. You get Carr back in there. The only problem with Carr, I guess in this is this was a rib injury, you know, kind of like a rib injury, side injury. He's throwing a football.
Yeah.
Seems like that could limit maybe what's going on. And I don't know what the chance for re-injury is. Maybe some of you Twitter doctors out there could let us know. But that would be my only pause here in this. Certainly the Panthers are the worst team or one of the worst teams in the NFL. But, you know, if I'm not going to get four quarters of Derek Carr, or if there's even a decently high chance I'm not going to get four quarters of Derek Carr, you cannot lay 7.5 with the same.
Yeah, and it's one of those. I think those injuries are always tough because of not so much of for me of, okay, if he takes a bad hit, is he going to have to leave? It's the throwing stuff, right? Is his throwing motion being affected at all? And the problem is you'd say, well, he's not going to rush back out there if he's not fully healthy. But the Saints are kind of in a spot now, right? Where it's hey, we got to push ahead here if we're going to try to make the playoffs. So we've seen what the other quarterback answers are for that team, and it's been a disaster the past couple weeks. So I would be a little concerned about Derek Carr trying to play through something here.
Jordan Love said that he could play against the Lions with no practice, Kelly. And when they asked him about it after, he said, yeah, obviously not practicing during the week is not ideal format for trying to play a game. Like I said, things happen. If that's the scenario, I know I'll be fine, but definitely it's not the ideal scenario for going into a big week. And then LaFleur went on to say, take it one day at a time. Coach speak. Take it one day at a time. We'll see where he's at by the end of the week.
He's becoming one of the best in the league at this, by the way. I'm going to not really talk about my injuries because why do I need to, right? And I have no idea what's going to happen there.
I don't either. This is that he could potentially play without practicing. So he wouldn't even say, yes, he could play without practicing.
Potentially.
So he just left us all completely in limbo with this. And so, you know, like I said, I put in the speculative bet on the Lions because I didn't think Love was going to. It looked worse to me, apparently, than it really is. I'm not a doctor, so I'm just going with like how he was responding on the field out there.
I never ended up betting it the other day. What did we talk about that? Tuesday, I think. I never bet it at the three, but the threes are still around right now. Juiced threes. I don't know. I probably need to because you and I, we both had the same reaction Monday morning. It was, the reporting over that injury sounded a lot better than it sure looked like to me.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what to expect with him.
Me neither. I don't get it. I don't really understand how he's going to play or at least be effective when he plays, I should say. Like, more than anything else is how effective are you going to be with that injury. But listen, again, I'm not a doctor, and they get the best health care that there is on the face of the planet.
As just a football fan, of course I'd like to see him fully healthy and watch that game. I mean, the Lions are so good, but they don't need any help in the NFC North. Yeah. There's so many good teams there. I want to see these teams play each other.
There's an inappropriate comment to be made about how well his groin has been taken care of this week, but like there's no reason to go there, right? There's no reason to do that.
Thanks. Good job.
Yeah, there's no reason to do that. I'm just saying there's no reason for us to go there. All right, Thursday night football, sitting here looking about, there's a 2.5 that just popped out there. So anywhere from 1.5 to 2.5 now in favor of the Jets. And if you're looking to get down a ton of money on this one, Kelly, we know our friends over at Sport Trade will allow you to get down big five-figure bets. That's over there. And one of the interesting things about Sport Trade is that they will also give you these -104 lines instead of -110 lines. Because, whatever, it's 6 pennies. But if you're one of the bigger bettors out there, this stuff really does add up.
Yo, totally. Yeah, 100%.
So go in, take advantage of the Sport Trade app, go and download it. Use the promo code VEASAN, and when you do, you're going to get 10% cash back on each wager your first week. Now, terms do apply to this. We need you to be 21 years or older if you're going to do it. If you have a gambling problem, please 1-800-GAMBLER. But Sport Trade, promo code VEASAN, 10% cash back each wager you make in your first week. 42.5, the prevailing total. I told you guys at the beginning of the week, I got in on this at 43.5. So all the CLV, Kelly, just that whole point.
It's come back up after.
Yeah, it's come back up. And the reason being is if you take a look at how this game has kind of shaken out, safety Jimmy Ward is out for the Texans. Linebacker Azeez Al-Shaair is out for the Texans. You got Damian Pierce out. Doesn't really matter. Joe Mixon is the dude anyway there in the backfield. And, of course, you lost Stephon Diggs for the season on the Jets side. And this is where I think that this total started to tick back up a little bit. Both starting safeties are out. So you got Tony Adams and Ashton Davis both out. Your best linebacker in C.J. Mosley is out. Your right guard Elijah Vera Tucker is out. Alan Lazard is out, starting wide receiver. And then Morgan Moses is questionable at the right tackle position for this Jets team after three limited practices. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, Kelly, and I think that maybe this is a buy low. So I ended up coming in at the two on the Texans. And here's the thing, like,
Texans really second in defensive DVOA.
Yeah. So their defense has been real. Wow. Their defense has been better than we have expected. The other thing about this is, yes, you are definitely getting the worst version of the Texans offense right now without their top two wide receivers. By the way, it's all but confirmed that Nico Collins is going to come back next week for this team. So you'll get a much, much bigger boost here from this team starting next week. But I think also too, we're getting a buy low opportunity for this team, because given what we have seen from the Jets, if you had Nico Collins and Steph Diggs out there, and I understand that's a big if, what are they? They're the 2.5-point favorites in this game.
Oh, easily.
Yeah, like it maybe even gets to a full field goal.
Yeah.
Given the sentiment that's out there about the Jets.
I mean, I've got this personally priced as like a pick 'em for this game. So yeah, add in those guys. Yeah, we're on the other side.
And so for me, I think this is a spot for us to come in and get some points here on the better quarterback, the better defense. And yeah, sure, you can make argument that the offense is going to be compromised. That's obvious, but we've seen nothing out of this Jets offense, even with all those star players. So where is the big advantage here, other than the fact that I guess they're playing at home, but it is a short week for an interim coaching staff. So there's that as well. So yeah. I think there's just a lot of different reasons here that we can look at this.
I mean, that's big. You and I are not the biggest trend guys, but like that has been a Thursday night new coaching staff thing has been a thing over the past few years in the NFL, was struggling to get wins for those new coaches. So yeah, I'm right there with you. I played played the Texans in a teaser. I did include that. I'm all teasers this week, so I just included that side. You know, 1.5, 2. You can get it over 7. Get it close up to 8 right now with the twos out there. That was the way I decided to play it. But you know, we talked about this a bunch yesterday. Like you said, like this is, I think we're getting near the bottom of where you're going to see this Houston team at right now with just all the injuries they have on both sides of the ball. With like the Jets, I don't know that we've seen the worst of this Jets team yet. You just, and nobody wants to talk about the other guys on the team all of a sudden, right? The fact that they have two starting safeties out, right, goes under the radar because they're not named Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams. And it's just, I don't know we've seen the worst of this Jets team yet.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about this game throughout the course of the show. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers obviously is clearly banged up too. I mean, he literally comes out today, or not today, he comes out yesterday. He's drinking cayenne pepper water because like someone turned him onto it for his soreness and all the stuff that's going on day to day. These guys turn into pepper water to like try and
you don't
get
do
better.
That after the gym.
You know, like he's trying to get better. I mean, like he's basically saying out loud, "I'm not 100%. Like I'm banged up." We can see that in his play anyway.
Oh, he looked in rough shape.
We can see it in his play anyway. So I think we're getting we're getting points here.
Yeah.
With this Texans squad, I am okay with it. So follow me, don't follow me. I think we'll be winning some tickets there tomorrow. We'll talk more about the game. We do have a prop in this one as well a little bit later. But Zach Cohen on NFL, NBA, and everything in between.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is a numbers game here on a Thursday. Just talked a little bit of Thursday night football. We'll have some more here later in the show as well. Kelly, I'm going to be on the Texans tonight. I'm going to play the under in this thing. Got a couple player props we'll talk about later.
You got a lot on Thursday night football. Yeah. Yeah. You bet the under early.
Yeah, bet the under on the opener, which, you know, again, is only a point difference now, but, and all the injuries don't make me jump up and down about it. Hey, you know, it is what it is. Can't get out of it.
That's right.
Still doing pretty good, but again, I think it's a pretty good little buy low point here on this Texans team, which I think is better at pretty much every position except the wide receiver position as we sit now.
What are we betting player props on? Well, Texans wide receivers?
Hey, not
man, a little bit. Who's going to pick up the yardage?
Maybe we'll check in on that. But let's see what Zach Cohen has to say about this game. You've seen all of his work over on VSiN.com, and you can get him over on the Twitter machine at Betting on X. Zach, before we get started, Kelly let me know. So I've introduced you and talked about called you Betting on X. Like, I mean, I had no idea it was a play on the change from Twitter to the X platform. I just thought that, like, whatever, you know, like there's some term that the kids these days are using that I didn't know or whatever it was. And then Kelly's like, yeah, he jumped up. Oh,
I mean, Zach,
that
you
makes
did,
perfect sense now. I never got the Twitter handle.
I mean, Zach, you did it on the day, right? The day it changed names. Yeah.
I think they changed to X and I changed it that day. I had always been struggling with an underscore in my name. People, you know, when we'd write even on the show, it'd be like at just Zico, no underscore Zico. I was like, I can't deal with this anymore. Let me capitalize on this new
name. Oh, man. I was just like, that makes perfect sense. But see, I was like, I thought I was just wasn't in on the joke or something.
No. So like, this is a man who knows branding right there. That's what it is, Matt Brown. The problem is I don't really know how he feels about it like 2 years later now.
Yeah. Well, you
like when everybody's like still calling it Twitter.
Yeah. But, you know, whatever. It works. I mean, yeah. It works. Now I get it. Now I understand, and my mind will get there with why you were betting on X. Let's talk a little bit about tonight's game, though. Sitting about two. We saw 2.5 pop, actually, here on this one, as low as 1.5 out there in the market as well. We know about the injuries at the wide receiver position for the Texans. We know about the defensive injuries on the Jet side of things. How do you think tonight ends up?
Yeah, I mean, this is a game that I wrote in my column. It definitely is shaping up like a pros versus Joes situation, and I generally do like to side, you know, with the pros in this situation, but I have to be able to justify it by looking at numbers, and I just can't do it looking at these two teams. I think the Texans are better on both sides of the football. They have the better head coach. They have the better coaching staff in general, and they have a much better quarterback, so I would just be really surprised if Houston doesn't win this game. I took them on the money line. As far as player props go, I heard you guys just talking about that a little bit. I like Joe Mixon to score a touchdown at -140. Has scored a touchdown in every game that he has finished this season. The only one he did not score was when he injured his ankle. I just think this is a game that the Texans really control. I just think the Jets are terrible.
Yeah, this is a game we've talked about a lot. It seems to be feeling that way, Zach. I know you've got some Jets fans in your family as well.
I'm a Jets fan. Yeah,
yeah, you're a Jets fan. Yeah. From a Jets fan's perspective, I mean, what do you think the future is the rest of this season? Matt and I've been talking the past couple of days. I'm like, I don't know. We've seen the worst version of this team yet.
Yeah, I can easily see it falling apart. I can also see, you know, an injury to Rodgers or something at some point. I don't think that we've seen the worst. Like, it can easily happen where they, you know, they struggle down the stretch. I know a lot of people are looking at this game as a potential turning point. I just don't see it. I think the Texans are too good.
Before we get to the NBA, which I know Kelly wants to get in earnest with you here, let's do jump over to college football real quick. We have a couple of marquee games. Of course, the biggest game of the week, Ohio State and Penn State. This one is the one everyone's going to be tuning in. The big noon kickoff, if you will. With
that's
all,
right.
Yeah, sitting about 3.5 in favor of Ohio State. 45.5 is the total. Any thoughts on this one?
I have a lean on Ohio State. I would like to get it at -3 or you know, maybe take the money line if it gets low enough. But I just think that their defense is going to be a little bit too much for Penn State. I think that Andy Kotelnicki has done a good job with that Penn State offense. But I just think their, you know, the quarterback play has not been good enough for the Nittany Lions. So I definitely think that this is a game that Ohio State should win. I know that the home field advantage is pretty big there, but I don't see them over it.
Zach, yeah, what else did you end up betting this week?
My favorite one is Arkansas +7.5, and I'm also taking the money line in that game. I just don't think that Ole Miss has looked all that good this season. I think that you look at EPA per play and EPA per play allowed, they definitely say that the Rebels are an elite team, but the eye test is really not matching up with that. Ole Miss is struggling to score points. They are moving the ball, but not capitalizing on opportunities in the red zone. I don't think that the offense is good enough to blow out an Arkansas team. I do believe is very good offensively. We saw it last week with Taylor Green throwing for 5 touchdowns, rushing for another. Everything is kind of clicking the Razorbacks on offense right now. And obviously very difficult to win on the road in the SEC against solid teams. And yeah, I just don't think there's that much that separates these two.
Talking to Zach Cohen, you've seen his work over on VSiN.com at Betting on X on the Twitter machine, which actually is the X and which is the X in the Betting on X. So now we've cleared all that up for the listeners and the viewers.
Right. He's not actually betting on events that occur on X.
Yes. So we get
only
it now.
Betting on the WNBA streams that go right to Twitter.
All right, Zach. So let's get over to the NBA, and we're a few games in, so I don't want to overreact or whatever to anything that we have seen, but do you have any early takeaways? Is there anything that has jumped out at you in the infancy of the season here?
Yeah, I think that on the Eastern Conference, where I'm looking is the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Orlando Magic are two teams that have impressed me a lot. And I definitely think that people talked about them as top 4 teams in the East before the season. I think that we're seeing them actually in that conversation now. The Cavaliers offensively just looking a lot better under Kenny Atkinson. The ball's moving around more. There's a little more purpose to their offense. Evan Mobley has looked a lot better offensively. It still kind of comes and goes with him. but there's going to be more, you know, 25 performances out of him where, you know, his touch around the basket is shown and his three shooting has been there. So I think that the Cavaliers are definitely a threat. And I also think the Orlando Magic are going to threaten those teams at the top of the East, just because Franz Wagner is a player that has always been really good on both ends of the floor, but his jumper kind of got away from him last year. That's back this season. Jalen Suggs, I believe, has taken a leap, just a knockdown three-point shooter now, great defender. And Anthony Black is playing really good minutes for them, a first-round pick a couple of years ago. Hasn't given them much, but has been great this season. And obviously, Powell has just been a load to stop in isolation. So I think that team is going to be able to contend in the Eastern Conference very, very soon.
Zach, we got four games tonight. Just looking at Lions right now, the Bucks laying 6.5 on the road at the Memphis Grizzlies, who might not have Desmond Bane, Marcus Smart, multiple players. And I'm not going to lay 6.5 with Milwaukee because why, Zach?
I just don't trust the Bucks, honestly. Like, I'm taking a player prop in this game. I'm going Ja Morant over 27.5 points and assists here. Morant has gone over 10 assists in three of the four games he has played. So I do like him to, you know, rack up assists in this game. But I also think he's going to have to be more aggressive as a scorer. Like you said, there are players out of this lineup. He's only shooting 14.3 shots per game this season. Usually shoots around 20 per game. I think we're going to see him get back up in his, you know, volume. And I do think that they're going to kind of take the training wheels off. His minutes have been down after he missed some time in the preseason. I think they're going to get back up soon. And yeah, I just don't think this is a great matchup. That Bucks defensive backcourt has a lot of trouble at the back.
Zach, we got three more games: Rockets and Mavs, Spurs and Jazz, Suns and Clippers. Any other bets in your account tonight?
Yeah, the only one that I have is Jazz Moneyline minus 125, and this is almost as much of a bet on Lauri Markkanen playing as it is on the Jazz. He is listed as questionable with a sore back. You never know what they're going to do with taking them out. Markkanen is a player that, you know, they might look to say he's injured as they look to try to get Cooper Flagg this year, but it's a little early for that, so I think if he can play, he will. And I do think that the Jazz are in a really good spot here with the Spurs playing their third game in four nights, also second night of the back-to-back. Also, San Antonio just has not looked good this season. We all expected them to be competitive, but they're outside the top 20 in both adjusted offensive and defensive rating. And Utah is a team that should be a little bit better moving forward than we've seen early in the season.
All right, Zach, what's going on over at VSiN.com? I know we got a couple of betting guides that are coming out or already out, all that. What do we got going on over there?
Yeah, a Breeders' Cup guide released today. I did not work on that. I did edit it, but I do not know much about horse racing, so I did not write for it. But that's about the only guide that I didn't help on. But it is really good stuff. There's going to be hopefully a couple of winners in there, so make sure you check it out. And just a lot of writing on a daily basis. I have some tennis picks up on a day-to-day basis for the rest of the season. And yeah, best bets for everything.
You can find him over on Twitter as well, at BettingOnX, and of course, all the great work over at VSiN.com. Thanks for your time, Zach, and good luck tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Of course, he talks about that Breeders' Cup betting guide, and that's part of kind of a special we're running, Kelly, as well. Now to May the 1st, you can get in at everything that we do for $120 over at VSiN.com. You go to VSiN.com/subscribe, and it is our way of saying, hey, listen, we understand we're moving. We're already halfway done with football. It's sad season for me because I start to do this thing where, like, what do you mean we only got 10 weeks of football left?
It does get sad.
We're moving into, but hey, listen, college basketball is coming up. We have college basketball guide that's also available. And of course, this Breeders' Cup thing, you and I will take this. We will go get the guide, and you and I will come in with some bets tomorrow.
Okay, for Felica. Good.
That's what we're going to do.
We'll blow Felica's mind when he comes out.
Yeah, we're going to come like, so what do you think of that last quarter poll? He's like, no, you can't say quarter. That ain't a thing. But I'm like, I'm gonna pretend it.
I like that you started with a semi-logical sentence there, but couldn't even finish it.
Yeah, you know. And what do you think of that last buyer's speed figure?
Whatever. That's one.
But anyway, VSiN.com/subscribe. $120 everything we do from now until May the 1st. When we come back, let's do some Halloween theme stuff here and talk about the scariest teams of the second half.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game here on VSiN. Matt in for Gil, Kelly alongside, and let's get a little NBA thoughts from you, Mr. Bidlin. We just talked to Zach Cohen, and see if there's anything that he said that you agree with, disagree with, want to go at. And I mean, he's gone now, so you can say whatever you want to. He's gone now. You can say whatever you want.
I was very interested as well to see what that Jazz Spurs line was going to be set at. Was wondering if it was going to be closer to a pick'em, and I think if that was the case, I would have joined Zach on that Jazz side. Like, he broke it down great. 3-4 situation for the Spurs, as we've been saying all week, though. Take that with a grain of salt, beginning of the season, but you are going up to Salt Lake City, so I think that does matter, especially coming off of a big-time game last night like they did. I think it does matter a little bit more, but man, this Jazz team, it is tough to back. Like you said, Markkanen, you got to watch out all day for to check injury news on him anyways. Did leave the last game they played. Got to be careful with that one. The Bucks and Grizzlies, that is a tough one. This is where the it is what Zach said is so right. I can't bring myself to make this bet yet, but really with that, with Memphis potentially being out significant players, Milwaukee should crush a team like this. And if you can't, We have to start having these discussions about what the Milwaukee Bucks are once again this year. This is a, you know, and his comments on Cleveland I thought were fascinating, because I can't, there's been a lot of excitement over Cleveland this year. I get it, but we've done this each year for the past 3 years where Cleveland gets off to a good start, or even a good start. They play well all season long. It's just, I think it's not a coaching problem. I think it's a fundamental how the team is built problem. And you don't really have any of the star wing players. It's all guards and bigs. And that limits a little bit what you can do basketball wise. Now, I think we have seen a different Evan Mobley this year, and that's huge, the way he's been attacking the basket. If he continues to play like that, maybe this is truly a different Cavaliers team. I'm having a little trouble, though, getting on that same page that everybody else seems to be on early in the NBA season on Cleveland, Matt.
You know, we don't bring it up very often. It's not like it's a huge, huge deal, but, you know, Salt Lake City is also at elevation. So, like, you know, you're about 4,400 feet above sea level, where San Antonio is about 600 feet above sea level. So just another thing to have to deal with.
Yeah, shout out to Matt Moore over the Action Network. He did the looked back, I think it was last 5 years, what home court advantage had really rated out to. And it was like kind of 2.5 points. That was his major point then. But Salt Lake City, number one in home court advantage over the past 5 years.
And I'm sure that's got to have at least a little bit to do with all that. So,
oh, totally. Yeah.
Talk about the Cavs.
Denver, not as high as you would think. It's not like Salt Lake City, Denver, like we all talk about it as basketball handicappers. Denver was a little bit further down the list.
It's because the teams just go to Salt Lake City, just party all night long before the games.
That's right. Obviously. Yeah.
So they just go, keep them out of the bars.
Gotta work at that nightlife factor for Salt Lake City.
Cavs did hammer the Lakers last night, but hey, Bronny hit a jumper.
That was awesome. I'm kind of glad it happened.
Bronny hit a jumper.
So glad he got it out of the way. So hopefully we can he can go down to the G League. We can stop talking about this a little bit. Yeah. I feel so bad for the kid, man. Everybody just wants to be angry at LeBron, and he's got to take the strays up there. It's just so awkward, too, watching some of the press conferences with him and LeBron, where it's like everybody's talking about him, but like he doesn't get to talk. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, hey, sit there. We're all going to talk about you now. And nobody gets to talk. I'm just so happy he got it out of the way. Got his first bucket. Good for you, Bronny. Love that it came in like the just like I'm going to throw up a shot, too. Yeah. Like it was kind of a gross jumper. Like, yeah, whatever. Like, I'm just going to throw this shot up. Went in.
Little mid-range.
Yeah, a little mid-range.
And then one other thing from last night, just to get your thoughts just in general. So Cat kind of reminded everybody last night that he can play a little basketball. Goes 44-13-2 last night in a 9-point win over the Heat. And so if you have not been paying attention to off-season moves and things that happened and everything, Kelly, he plays for the Knicks now. I bet you.
That's right.
We're going to tell this, and people are going, what? Carl Anthony Towns plays? Yes, he plays for the Knicks.
Yes, he does. Great game. Miami Heat off to a rough start this year. I really don't know what to expect. I think there are some teams with some major question marks out east heading into this. Going back to what Zach said, I am all in kind of on the Magic continuing to get better this year. The Cleveland one, I'm a little bit questionable of. This Heat team, I think, could fall off a cliff. The only question, though, is really who's going to replace them? You've seen Philadelphia start off really slow here. Obviously, they've got the Embiid and Paul George situations that they're dealing with. But, you know, if the Bucks, if they didn't right the ship from last year, and this it sure looks like the same thing right now. And if that's what it's going to be like all year, they're going to be in rough shape too. As much as I love Giannis, this could be maybe one of the last years we're seeing him there.
Yeah, and you know, even with Towns going for 44. All five starters did get into double figures for that Knicks team. What do you think of them just kind of in the overall grand scheme of things?
I think one of the more interesting teams to me, because mm-hmm. I'm not ready to be completely all in on them like yeah. a lot, like some were this offseason, yet I think there are potential for them to be the mm-hmm. second best team in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think, again, potential, when I say it's going to happen,
yeah.
but if everything kind of... everything kind of goes the way that it seems like it could go, then yes, that I think they're in discussion.
How they're constructed, Matt, I think is one of the more fascinating NBA team constructions in the past probably 10 years, because I think they got a lot of great parts that championship contenders would love to have on their team. How are all these guys going to play together? Mm-hmm. That's what we got to see.
Yeah, we'll see if they can, as we say, mesh. Mm-hmm. You know, we like to see if these teams can mesh. Okay, it is Halloween. Whether you like the holiday or not, we don't really care, because we are going to do a Halloween-themed segment right here and talk about the scariest team to bet on or bet against.
That's right. There's no full open, if that's what you're meaning.
No, I'm just like...
I just want to let the music play out a little bit? Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to feel it a little bit. Is it... Can y'all hear it? Yeah, it's scary music. Does it sound like scary music? Yeah,
no, sure. It's getting there. I see the organ came in a little bit.
Oh, we got to wait. You should have been like start at 13 seconds or something or whatever. Along the way.
Well, I should have. You're right.
Yeah. Anyway, here we go. And it played out better in rehearsal. So it's just trust me. It's the scariest teams to bet on or bet against. Let's start with the teams to bet on. And for me, as we sit at the halfway point of the season, the Browns for me. Because, hey, what am I going to get on a week-to-week basis with Jameis Winston? Wouldn't I like to know if I was going to place a bet on the Browns in any given game, we could get Jameis from last week where he threw for 334 and looked like he might be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. I am almost positive if he does start every game the rest of the season, we will get three of those games as well where he throws three picks and two of them get returned for touchdowns. And we go, how is this guy still have a job in the NFL? So I think it is going to be pretty scary to bet on the Browns in any fashion moving forward, Kelly, mainly because of the Jameis Winston factor. It's good when it's good. And I bet you it's going to be bad when it's bad.
Guy, I love that this is your answer. One thing I was really not expecting this week was for you to somehow have surpassed my intensity level on Jameis and the Browns. it's a good answer. I don't know how tempted I will be. I'm going to go back to a team we talked about either yesterday or the day before, Cardinals, for me. It's just... when it's good, it looks so good. And we just ask ourselves all the time, why can't this offense look consistent ever? Kyler has these great quarters, halves, whatever, and you're just looking for him to put them together more consistently. It's that, because I do think there's opportunities in the NFC at the bottom of the playoff race. It's just a team that they're probably not going to make the playoffs. But man, I'm almost every week it seems I get attracted when I see the number oftentimes the number of points that they're catching as a dog, and it makes me study that game harder than I probably should.
Yeah, no, I mean, in this week now, because of the sentiment around the Browns, I mean, they're favored right over mm-hmm. the Browns this week as high as a point and a half out there in the market are the Cardinals favored at home over the Browns. And I agree with you, because the thing about the Cardinals, and it's kind of the same reasoning for the Browns, except it's not on the quarterback per se, which is when the offense is good, you're going to look and go, man, this team's good.
Yeah.
Like this team is good. And that's the problem with the Cardinals, is that we've also seen when things don't click, and that's not necessarily because it's on Kyler Murray.
Right.
Like, it's just like
the defenses are different.
Yeah, something's going on. Something isn't really like working out. His number one guy is a rookie. So it's like, you know, him and Marvin Harrison have had some confusion at times on the field. So yeah, I get you there too. Bet against for me is going to be the Bills. And that has everything to do with the quarterback position, because if I have a bet against the Bills and I know I'm going up against Josh Allen,
ooh,
I am never feeling good about that. I think that this team is so incredibly scary to ever be going head to head against. And so Bills for me, easily. Josh Allen just puts on that cape so often and goes in and destroys your bet.
I'm going to have to actually, I'm going to have to check during one of these breaks when the last time I bet against the Bills is, because it might actually be like multiple years at this point.
Because of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to go with, okay, scariest team to bet against second half of the season, Detroit Lions. They're just so well-rounded. I mean, the couple times that either I've been on the sidelines, not on them, bet against them this year, man, it's just, if one thing's not working, the rest of the team seems to pick up the slack, whether that's offensively, defensively, run game versus pass game. They're just so well-rounded. I think it's really challenging to go up against them in a bet this season.
Yeah, no.
I don't think that's going to drop off here.
No. And I mean, look, this team is so, so, so good on the offensive side that even if you're down, even if you're trailing, the comeback factor is there for sure. And then, of course, they're always in there for the back door. All right, when we come back, we'll see what this line is doing over here for Thursday Night Football and also get into the awards markets. Is there any bet we want to put in here at the halfway point?